Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Continuing our fall series, and if you're here for the first time, and maybe you don't consider yourself a religious person, we want you to know that we're really glad you're here, and we encourage you just to hang around a while, because I think if you do, you'll find out that we're not all that religious either. And we're not about religion, we're about a relationship with God, about knowing God in a real, powerful, close, intimate, personal way. But this morning, we're continuing our series. We're on week two of our series called The Five Catalysts. And for those who are unfamiliar with the term catalyst, what is a catalyst? A catalyst, it's in your notes. You can take out your notes this morning from your bulletins. Our notes also have the homework for our life groups. So if you're in a life group, make sure you do that. But it says a catalyst is a person or event that quickly causes change or action. A substance that causes or accelerates a chemical reaction. Now, to illustrate what a catalyst is, we have a little experiment we're going to do this morning, all right? We have Diet Coke here, and we've got Mentos, all right? And we're going to do a little experiment. Now, I want you to watch very carefully. I'll move this out of the way so those on this side can see it, because this happens quite quickly, and I probably need to run so I don't get a shower. That's quick, isn't it? That's a catalyst. There was a few that didn't make it in there. That's what a catalyst is, something that causes a quick change. And we're talking about five catalysts this morning. There are five things that are catalysts when it comes to our relationship with God, our faith in God. Last week we talked about how do we grow in our relationship with God. And we talked about when something grows, when we talk about having a growing relationship, what that means is that our faith is growing. And so we focused on last week how to have a big faith. Okay, how do you have a big faith? How do you grow? And there's five things. Now, we're going to do a little exercise today that I've done with several groups before. And we have a whiteboard here with five categories. And I want you to share, I want you just to help me this morning. When are the times, I want you to think about this and answer this question, when are the times in your life when your faith has grown the most? What were the events? What were the things you did? What were the people? What was involved? What were spiritual milestones? You can say, hey, I remember when I felt like I really grew here. I felt like I kind of went to another level in my faith with God. I felt like there was a time in my spiritual journey that was a milestone for me. I want you to help me here. We're going to write these down. And then we're going to reveal these over the next 5 weeks, what these catalysts are. So help me today. When are times that you've really grown in your faith? Call it out loud. Your dad's death, okay? Someone else. Pardon? Your heart was healed, okay? Now, maybe some of you can't read this, but I can, and that's all that matters, okay? Anyone else? Someone else, what are some other times? Your auto accident, okay? Pardon? Blending a family, all right? Someone else. I can't. The birth of your son. Okay? Boy, we got to expand some areas here. We're going to be here a while, so we can be here as long as you want today. We got to fill all five categories. I want you to start thinking of some other things. I'll throw one out. I went on a missions trip to England. And when I went on that missions trip, God really did some things in my life. Okay? And so I'm going to throw that one in right here. Anyone else? Some other experiences? Okay, what? A spiritual encounter. Where were you when that happened? You were driving. You were sleep driving. Were you praying at the time or just you were asleep? Okay, I'm going to throw that one over here. Sleep driving, we'll call that one. Someone else? Okay, water baptism and new job? Teaching children's church, okay. Teaching kids' church, new job. Okay, water baptism. Leading life group, someone else? Camp. What was it at camp? The services. So what they preached, what they taught about, that made an impact? Okay. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Being a Sunday school challenge from a Sunday school teacher. So a Sunday school challenge. Someone else. A new marriage. Anything else today? So just your regular time-seeking God devotions type thing. Okay, devotions. Anything else? Answer to prayer? Okay, answer to prayer. Okay, volunteering. Salvation. Well, that would be the start of your faith, not the growth of your faith. So we'll set that to the side, but that is a big thing. A healing, okay. All right. Any other thing that has really contributed to your life? Pardon? Pain. Pain, yes. What caused the faith? What was the circumstance surrounding it? Okay. So trusting for in a certain circumstance? Just trusting God, okay. Okay, and during a time of adoption, you got direction. So how'd you get the direction? What was the circumstances surrounding it? So you're praying God for direction. Okay. Praying for direction. Overcoming depression. Seeing a miracle, okay. There was one time in my life, I was pastoring in Iowa, and it was my first pastorate, and there was another pastor across town at another church, and I was really frustrated and really ready to get out of ministry, and I met with him, and he began to mentor me. And I tell you, that flipped everything for me. I'm in the ministry today because of a guy named Tom Jacobs. So TJ was a mentor for me. Brian Garfield was a mentor. I'll put BG for that. Anyone else? your grandmother. She was a mentor. Okay, we've got all of them filled in now, so we can stop so you can get lunch today and see the football game. But see, a lot of times you don't realize what contributes to the growth in your life. And we're going to take a look at these five areas, and you can probably kind of guess what some of these are just as you look at the categories they're in. But this morning, we want to talk about the first one, and here's the reason why this is so important. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, verse 19, go into all the world and make disciples. The word disciple means someone who follows God. See, it's not just a convert, I'm saved and I'm done. It's someone who follows God. The question is, how do you make a disciple? Most of us were never discipled intentionally. I wasn't. No one came alongside and says, here, Craig, let me show you how you grow in your faith. I was kind of self-taught. How many of you would say you were self-taught for most of the journey? There wasn't someone who came along and just says, this is how you do it. And if we don't know how to make disciples, and that command isn't just to pastors, that command is to all Christians. If we don't know how to make disciples, then we're not going to be able to do that. For example, if I told you this morning, I want you to draw a picture for me. How many like to draw? If I said, draw a picture of a caballo, what is a caballo? Could you draw it? You can't draw a picture of a caballo. Now, let me give you some hints, okay? A caballo is something you can ride. So what do you think of that? It's something that, you know, now that could be a car, that could be a boat, that could be a train, that could be some kind of an animal, you know, that could be a bicycle, well, you know, so those are some things that come to mind. But now what if I say that it eats grass and it has four legs and hair? Yeah, it's a horse. That's what a caballo is. You see, when you begin to figure out, when you're given kind of a list saying it has these qualities, then you know, you gain a picture of it and you can develop it and you can do it. And it's good for us to know what grows big faith in our lives for ourselves to grow, for our children to grow, and for those around us, how we can grow. And we have tried to design our church's discipleship method after these five catalysts. Now, the first catalyst this morning, take a look at your notes today, is practical teaching. It is practical teaching. And practical teaching, you can take a look in your notes, is teaching that moves people to action. That's one of the primary things that God uses to grow our faith. When men and women, when singles, when college students, it doesn't matter who it is, when they begin to share, this is when I begin to grow in my faith. One of the elements that comes up a lot is, you know, I went to church all my life, but it was just a bunch of head knowledge. But then someone invited me to another church, or someone invited me to a Bible study, or to a campus ventures group on the college, or a guy started a Bible study in his own office, and when that guy or when that gal began to speak, it was like the Bible came alive. They just weren't sharing information, but they were sharing application. It wasn't just something for me to know now, it was something for me to do. And as I began to go to that church, to that Bible study, and I began to not only just hear the Bible, but I begin to do the things in the Bible, man, my life just began to explode with God. It was a catalyst that caused my faith to grow. Practical teaching is one of the things that grows our faith. How many of you can think of times in your life when you sat in a class, you sat in a seminar, you sat in a service, and you heard practical teaching, and all of a sudden a light bulb went on, and there was a change that took place in your life, and it resulted in growth for you? How many would say that happened for you? Look around you. Look at all the hands that are up. Yeah, several of you. It might be at camp. It might be in Sunday school. It might be in a Bible study. It might be in a church service. But practical teaching is something that God uses to help us grow in our faith. And that's how Jesus taught. Jesus, when he opened the Old Testament, he taught differently from the Old Testament religion, or excuse me, from the religious leaders, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees of his day. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to pick it up in verse 28. And what's interesting, Matthew 7 is the end of a long sermon that Jesus preached, okay? He started this sermon in Matthew chapter 5, went through 6 into 7. It's what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. And the reason is because Jesus was on a mountain when he preached it. And so Jesus has shared this 3-chapter-long sermon. And when he is finished, this is what verse 28 says, "So it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes." The teachers of the first century law, when they taught in the context of, here's some information. Here's something that you didn't know before. This is what Isaiah meant. And they just gave information. But Jesus, he shared information, but then he says, here's what to do with it. I encourage you, read through Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and look at what Jesus said. It wasn't just things to know, it was things to do. For example, Jesus said, forgive. You know, you've heard it said before, love those who love you and hate those who hate you. But I say to you, forgive. Love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus brought a message of application about forgiveness. Jesus talked about, he said, you know, don't just go 1 mile, go 2 miles. Do more than what is expected. Jesus said, by the way, lust is sin. If you do it, you commit adultery. He says, when it comes to giving, give as much as you can. Jesus taught, but then he gave application. And we're going to roll back to verse 24, because when Jesus gets done preaching this big, long sermon of 3 chapters, he wraps everything up with a parable. This parable is a very popular verse of Scripture. In fact, many of you probably sang a song in kids' church or Sunday school. And I'm not going to sing it this morning, because if I do, that song will be stuck in your head probably all week long, or at least the rest of the day. But look at verse 24. It says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." I can hear some of you starting to hum the song right now, okay? Take a look at your notes this morning. This is what Jesus is teaching from verse 24. He says that knowing truth does not make a difference. It's doing the truth that counts. It's not just knowing what is right, knowing what the Bible says, knowing truth. It is doing truth. It's applying truth. It's putting the truth into action. That's what makes the difference in your life. Now remember, we're not talking about how do you get to heaven. We talked about that last week. We can't just do things to get into heaven. It's based upon faith, faith in Christ. But here's the thing. Once you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what really matters is what you do. Jesus taught in John 14, 15, before he died, he said this to his disciples. He said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Or you could say, do my teaching. The things I've taught you, do them. Here's the thing. If I love my wife, I will do the things that I know please her. I'll do things that honor her and value her. Now, I know what those things are. She has told me. I remember when we were first married, and there was an appliance we had, a small kitchen appliance, and it broke. And I suggested, I says, well, how her birthday was coming up. How would you like that for your birthday? If looks could kill, I wouldn't be here today. You see, here's the thing. Growing up in my house, when something broke down, the toaster went out, which it never did, because the toasters back in those days, they lasted a long time. It used to be, if you had a one toaster marriage, you know, that went for 50 years. Nowadays, to get 50 years, you need about a 6-toaster marriage, maybe more, you know. But I remember when things broke down, my mom said, well, just get me that for my birthday. You know, she wasn't into flowers and frills. She was very practical. So I'm thinking my wife would love it if I would bless her with a new electric can opener. No. She taught me that early on in our relationship. And so because I love her, because I want to honor her and value her, I don't give her a new griddle. Yeah, our griddle's going out. I don't give her a new blender. You know, I don't get her a new frying pan. If I did, it would be over my head. I don't do things that dishonor her. How many know, guys, if you do something that dishonors, disrespects your wife, you are a foolish man. You are not a wise man who builds his house on the rock. You are the foolish man. And that's the whole thing Jesus is getting, that he says, if you love me, then you will do the things that you know value me, honor me. You will do my commandments. You will do those things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying, if you have a big faith, a perfect faith, this is what you would do. You would not say, well, that's it. They ticked me off. I'm going to get even with them. You're going to say, God, I'm trusting you. You're going to work this out. And I'm going to have a heart of forgiveness. I will bless them. I will love them. I will pray for them. If you've got a big faith, then you are going, when you see someone in need, you're going to give, and you're going to give as much God says, even if it doesn't make sense. If you've got a big faith in God, then you are going to say, okay, only my spouse pleases me. I am not going to lust over all these other women. I'm not going to lust over these other guys. I am going to put faith in God that that's where sexual satisfaction comes from. You see, Jesus said, when you've got a big faith in God, this is what it looks like. I'm not going to worry about, well, if I do more than this, if I go the second mile, what are people going to say about me? Or am I going to have enough time and energy? I'm going to do what God says as a result of the big faith. If you want to see God show up in your life, we have to do things. We can't say, well, God loves me because I heard Jesus speak. I went and heard Jesus 5 weeks in a row. I heard him taught. So I know God loves me. No, Jesus said, if you love me, you will do my commandments. In our American culture, we rate spirituality on, did you go to church this week? We do that. You know, how many times, if something's going bad, do people say, well, are you going to church? You know, it's like, you know, I've made Mass 3 months straight. I've been in service 10 weeks straight in a row. And we think, hey, yeah, I've got it. I'm good. But friends, just going to church is not where it's at. Jesus said, you can listen to all of my sermons. You can write them down. You can index them. You can catalog them. But if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're a fool. You are not wise if you don't do it. You see, it's doing it that blows up your faith. That causes a catalytic reaction. It's not hearing it. It's not knowing it. It's not even understanding it. It is doing it. That's why when you hear people talk about their story and about their faith growing, an element is, I went to church and I heard this guy, I heard this girl, they begin to teach, I begin to do it, and I begin to hear what they said about marriage. I heard what they said about morality. I heard what they said about finances, and I begin to do it, and all of a sudden, my marriage began to explode. My finances begin to explode. God began to do something in my life in those areas when I put into practice what I heard being talked about. When I apply Scripture to my marriage, to my family, to my future, to my relationships, God blows those areas up. He creates a big faith. Take a look in your notes this morning. It says, when you begin to do the things the Bible says to do, your faith intersects with God's faithfulness, and that's when God honors you. Your obedience is really an act of faith. See, we're talking about growing a big faith. When we obey, obedience is really an act of faith. You obey not because it makes sense, not because you've seen anyone else do it, not because it goes with culture, not because you think it's going to work. You just do it because God says, do it, and I'm going to trust him. This last week in our life groups, one of the homework questions was based out of Daniel, and it talked about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when King Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to bow down before my idol. and worship the idol, worship me. And they said, hey, God says we should not bow down. We're going to obey God. We don't care if you throw us in the fiery furnace. We don't care if it makes sense. We don't care if the culture, if no one else in the entire country does it, we are going to obey God. And when they obeyed God, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, the king didn't say, oh, wow, you guys are so committed. You know what? That's fine. You don't have to bow down. He got ticked off. He stoked the fire up 7 times hotter. And when they threw them in, they were dancing around praising God. But they had a faith that said, we're not going to be. They says, hey, God can save us, but even if he doesn't, even if this doesn't work, we're going to obey him. And God brought them out alive. Their hair wasn't singed. I remember one time I was lighting our gas grill and I couldn't get the lighter to go. And all of a sudden it lit and whoosh! And the hair in my arm was singed. I wasn't even in the fire. And you know, how many times have you been around a campfire and you come home and you smell? I mean, you got to wash your clothes. You got to take a shower. They came out of the fire. Not a hair was singed. They didn't even smell smoke. You talk about a miracle. But you see, they obeyed not caring about the result. They obeyed because this is what God says, so I'm going to do it. And when they did that, wow. How many would, if you came out of a furnace, not burn, how many would say, yeah, that's a faith moment. That's a milestone. My faith is growing. That would be. And that's what happened to them. And that's the kind of faith God is looking for. When we say, I'm going to apply what I've been taught, we're taking the shackles off of God, and we're giving God permission to show up in our life in a real and tangible way. God would have never shown up in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego if they didn't obey, if they didn't apply that commandment that they learned as kids growing up, don't worship other gods. And that's what God is looking for. You see, it's one thing to believe in nutrition. How many know you should eat good food? Yeah, you know, but it's another thing to eat healthy, right? It's one thing to believe in exercise. It's another thing to do it. You know, you can go out and buy gym clothes. You can get a membership at the gym. You can walk into the gym with your gym bag. You can even have a conversation with the trainer. You can set up an appointment with the trainer. You can go home and you can buy all these DVDs. You can have your whole library full of fitness videos. And you can buy the Wii so you can have fun when you're working out. And you can buy, you know, Bowflex and weights and treadmills and rowing machines. You can buy all these things and acquire all this knowledge and learn all these plans. But and you can look like an expert. Someone can look walk into your house and say, wow, look at all this information you have. You're an expert. And that's right. That's right. You're sitting over there with your Twinkies and your Dr. Pepper. That's right. I'm an expert. Anything you want to know on exercise, I can tell you. But it hasn't helped me one personal bit. You see, knowing it doesn't help you. It's doing it. And Jesus said, those who do it, not just hear it, they are wise. They are wise. If you want your Christianity to explode, you need to expose yourself to environments where the Word of God isn't just taught, but it's applied. And that's one of the best things you can do for yourself, for your kids, for your spouse, for your future spouse, is get in environments where the Word of God is being practically taught and you can apply it. Okay, let's hit verse 25. Take a look at verse 25. It says, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Look in your notes this morning. Verse 25, what does it teach us? There are storms, but because you've done the right things, they don't destroy you. Some people say, well, if you've got faith, you won't have any problems. Everything will go well, but that's not what Jesus taught. As you look at this story, both the wise man and the foolish man had storms. Both were beaten and battered by the wind, the waves. Both experienced the trouble. But the man who did what Jesus said did not collapse. his life stayed intact. Was it easy? Probably not. Was it scary? Most likely, but he was safe. And the thing that we need to realize is that doing what God says will not keep us from the storm, but it will take us through the storm. His house didn't stand because he knew about storms. He didn't know about construction. His house stood because he did what God told him to do. Verse 26 this morning and 27. Jesus said, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine, everyone who attends church, everyone who goes to the conference, everyone who goes to mass, everyone who reads the book, everyone who acquires these the knowledge, they hear these sayings and does not do them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Now, you know, this can be offensive depending on your religious tradition, because some of you say, "I've got 100% perfect attendance. I never miss going to church." But take a look at your notes this morning. Jesus said that showing up and attending church has little value. Stacking up spiritual knowledge has little value. And there are many people today, they're building a house. It's a relational house, a financial house, a dating house, a moral house, but they don't do what God says, and then they're surprised by its collapse. Now, do I think going to church is important? You know what? I enjoy not speaking to an empty room, okay? And it is good to go to church, but here's the thing. If you go to church and just listen to the sermon and that's all you do, you don't do anything about it, there's little value. Jesus says you might as well stay home if all you're doing is you're hearing my word, but you're not doing it. Doing what God tells us to do is one of the first things that God uses to blow up our faith.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.